It's 6 p.m. I'll call the meeting of Pleasant Prairie Plan Commission order. Ask the clerk to please read the roll.
Thomas Turwall.
Here.
Michael Serpy.
Here.
Wayne Castle.
Here.
Deb Scarta.
Here.
Jim Bandura.
Here.
Judy Giuliana.
Here.
Bill Stobig.
Here.
John Skolbeck is excused. Brock Williamson.
Here.
Well, a quorum. We'll go ahead then with item three. Consider the minutes of the August 14th Plan Commission meeting. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the August 14th, 2017 Plan Commission meeting as presented in written form. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Correspondence, Jean?
I have none this evening.
Item five is citizens' comments. If you're here for an item that appears on the agenda as a matter for public hearing, we would ask that you save your comments until that public hearing is held and will include your comments as a part of the official record. However, if you're here to discuss an item that either is not on the agenda or is not a matter for public hearing, now would be your opportunity to speak. We'd ask you to begin by coming to the microphone and give us your name and address. Anybody wishing to speak under citizens' comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to item A, unfinished business. Can we combine A, B, and C, Jean?
I would ask if you would take up items A, B, and C at the same time.
Items A, B, and C, there is a request to withdraw these items.
I move, Mr. Chairman, that we withdraw items A, B, and C from the agenda.
There a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to remove items A, B, and C from the agenda at this time. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, in the future, when the petitioner is ready to work through the issues and get through the project, we will be renoticing, and there will be a series of three public hearings again for the comprehensive plan, the zoning map amendment, as well as the consideration of the certified survey map development agreement related documents. So it's they are coming back at a later date. It's just we're not certain of that date at this time.
These were withdrawn at the request of the applicant?
That's correct.
Thank you. Item 7, new business A, public hearing consideration of Plan Commission Resolution 17-21. Jean?
So, Mr. Chairman, items A under new business and B and C and D all relate to the same project, so I'd like to take up all three items at the same time and then hold one public hearing for all four items, and we'll be making one presentation. I'm sorry, three items, A, B, and C, will make one presentation.
Motion to that effect?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we take items A, B, and C for presentation together, but we vote on them separately.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So ordered. Go ahead, Jean.
So item A is a public hearing in consideration of Plan Commission Resolution 17-21 to amend the Village Comprehensive Plan. And this is to consider an amendment to a portion of the Pleasant Farms Neighborhood Plan at the request of John Sorensen, agent for U.S. Shelter Companies, LLC owner, for the proposed development of the vacant land south of the Heritage Valley subdivision, generally located south of County Trunk Highway C or Wilmot Road and at 106th Avenue. This amendment to the neighborhood plan also affects the adjacent property to the west owned by Meta LP. The neighborhood plan amendment reconfigures the road locations and single-family lot configurations. The subject properties where in the neighborhood plan is being amended include tax parcel numbers 924-122-181-0275, 924-122-181-0541, and 924-122-181-0271, all located within U.S. Public Land Survey Section 18, Township 1 North, Range 22 East, in the Village of Pleasant Prairie, Kenosha County, Wisconsin. The next item, item B, is also a public hearing, and this is in the consideration of a conceptual plan for the request of John Sorensen, agent for U.S. Shelter Companies, LLC, owner for the proposed development of the vacant lands south of the Heritage Valley subdivision, generally located south of 89th Place at 106th Avenue, for the proposed residential development of two vacant properties into 45 single-family lots to be known as River Run at Heritage Valley. And then item C, public hearing and consideration of a floodplain boundary adjustment for the request of John Sorensen, agent for U.S. Shelter Companies, LLC, owner for the filling of 3,694 cubic feet of 100-year floodplain, and then creating of 4,823 cubic feet of 100-year floodplain for the proposed development to be known as River Run at Heritage Valley. As mentioned earlier, I will be making one presentation and also ask the developer to come to add or supplement that information, and then we will take public hearing comments on all of the items as soon as the presentation is completed. The petitioner is requesting several approvals to develop two vacant properties south of the Heritage Valley subdivision, generally located south of 89th Place and 106th Avenue in the village. They're looking to create 45 single-family lots to be known as River Run at Heritage Valley. The items being considered at the meeting for approval include an amendment to the comprehensive plan, which is the Pleasant Farms neighborhood plan, a conceptual plan, and a floodplain boundary adjustment. The existing Heritage Valley subdivision, which is phase one, included 32 single-family lots that were originally platted back in 1993, with additional phases proposed for a total of 176 single-family lots. Since 1993, additional phases of the Heritage Valley subdivision, as originally proposed, had not moved forward. At this time, a new developer has purchased approximately 24 acres to develop 45 single-family lots to be known as River Run at Heritage Valley. The remaining vacant land included the additional phases of the Heritage Valley subdivision that are not owned by the petitioner, or approximately 22 acres. If that land would ever develop, it could develop for an additional 49 additional lots as proposed as part of the neighborhood plan. Therefore, the land within the original Heritage Valley subdivision boundaries could be developed with 94 single-family lots rather than the 140 single-family lots as originally proposed. With respect to the first item then on the agenda is the Comprehensive Plan Amendment. This is Plan Commission Resolution 17-21. The petitioner is requesting an amendment to a portion of the Pleasant Homes Neighborhood Plan, Pleasant Farms Neighborhood Plan, in Appendix 9-3 of the Village Comprehensive Plan as a result of the proposed development. Pleasant Farms neighborhood is generally bounded by Bain Station Road and Wilmot Road, or County Trunk Highway C on the north, I-94 on the west, and the CP Railway to the east, just east of 88th Avenue, and approximately 93rd Street on the south. The amendment to the neighborhood plan reconfigures the road locations and the single-family lot configurations and affects the lands owned by U.S. Shelter Companies, LLC, and by Meta LP, identified as tax parcel numbers 924-122-181-0275, 181-0541, and 181-0271, all located within U.S. Public Land Survey Section 18, Township 1 North, Range 22 East in the Village of Pleasant Prairie. Neighborhood plans, as you know, are a component of the Village's comprehensive plan, and they're intended to provide the community with the means of reviewing the patterns of existing and probable future development in and around an area proposed for land development. They evaluate access to that land development and the feasibility of developing certain land uses and lot layouts, roadways, parkways, open green spaces, and preservation areas, as well as schools, municipal facilities, municipal services, all to service a particular neighborhood. The neighborhood plan sets forth a guide for future development when a willing landowner wishes to develop his land or her land. In accordance with the village's comprehensive plan, the overall net density for the neighborhood is recommended to be within the lower medium density residential land use category. That means that the average lot size will be somewhere between 12,000 square feet and 18,999 square feet per dwelling unit. This allows for some areas of the neighborhood to have larger lots, while some areas will have smaller lots. The net density of the neighborhood with the proposed amendment is 18,927 square feet per dwelling unit. Therefore, the lot size per dwelling is within that range provided as part of the comprehensive plan. Up on the screen as we continue to talk through the proposal, on the left is the existing neighborhood plan that's proposed to be amended, and then to the right is the proposed amendment to the neighborhood plan. Just a couple of quick notes. The main or the primary difference that you can readily see from one to the other is that the initial plan showed a series of cul-de-sacs where the proposed amendment shows more through streets. We've learned a lot as a village over the last 20, 25, 30 years now. And so when we're looking at a lot of dead-ended streets, it does make it for a little bit more costly for the provision of public services. So that was one of the major considerations that we had as a village when we're looking at the development of new lots within our community, and to be more efficient with respect to snow plowing, garbage collection, and so on and so forth, in order to provide that through movement of vehicles as well as municipal vehicles to service a particular area. With respect to population projections for the entire neighborhood with the amendment, the vacant portions of this neighborhood will not develop until the property owners wish to develop their land, which makes neighborhood planning essential for the orderly growth of the community and establishes a framework as to how development should occur when it, if it does occur. The neighborhood plan is a guide for the property owners and the developers. Therefore, the population will increase on an incremental basis as the neighborhood develops over time. The current population within the entire neighborhood, and again, this entire neighborhood is about a mile and a half square area, 81 dwelling units, 220 persons. Projected population within the neighborhood, when it's based on the total number of households being fully developed with a number of, with all of the lots, 916 dwelling units, or 2,483 persons. There is no exact time frame, by the way, as to when this neighborhood will develop in its entirety. Again, it's based on the willing property owners and willing developers willing to bring forth a concept or proposal for development. Based on the 2010 census information for the village, the average number of persons per household is 2.71. School-aged children between the ages of 5 and 19 make up just over 22.6% of the population. The village provides copies of all these proposed developments to the Kenosha Unified School District, KUSD, in order to assist in their long-range planning. Pursuant to the information provided to KUSD for Pleasant Prairie, it's projected that 42% of new dwelling units will have new students that will attend public schools. So there's a possibility that up to 385 students could come from this entire neighborhood. The conceptual plan, as presented by the developer, proposes to develop approximately 24 acres for 45 single-family lots in three phases to be known as River Run at Heritage Valley. Phase 1 includes 12 single-family lots. Phase 2 includes 24 single-family lots, and the remainder of 9 lots would be developed as part of a Phase 3. Again, the vacant land to the west is owned by Meta LP, and it is not proposed to be developed at this time. But pursuant to the neighborhood plan as discussed previously, there could be up to 49 additional single-family lots with that development. With respect to the single-family development, about 13.92 acres are proposed to be developed for 45 single-family lots and 3 outlots. The single-family lots range in size from 12,501 square feet to 17,757 square feet. The average lot size is 13,470 square feet. The lots shall be adjusted so that they all meet the minimum requirements of the R4.5 Urban Single Family Residential District. That requires all the lots to be a minimum of 12,500 square feet and 80 feet of frontage. Again, some of these lots will be bigger than that. Some will need to be at least at that minimum. All the lots need to have a minimum depth of 125 feet. A number of new streets are proposed to be developed with full public improvements, which includes municipal sewer, water, storm sewer, sidewalks, which is a new criteria for the village, roadways, street trees, including the extension south of 105th and 106th Avenues, 107th Avenue, 90th Street, and 91st Place. There are three outlots that are proposed within the development. All these outlots will contain wetland, floodplain, and stormwater retention facilities for the development. Outlot 1 is proposed to be dedicated, which is a fee interest transfer, as common open space to the River Run and Heritage Valley Homeowners Association, Inc. The outlot will be labeled Outlot 1, dedicated by the developer to the River Run and Heritage Valley Homeowners Association for open space, floodplain, and wetland preservation and protection, access and maintenance purposes. The wetland areas will need to be separately delineated and identified. There also should be an easement over the same area that is granted to the village for that same open space, floodplain, wetland preservation and protection, access and maintenance purposes in the event that the association fails to take care of the property. Outlot 2 is proposed to be dedicated also as a fee interest transfer as common open space to the Homeowners Association. The outlot will be labeled Outlot 2, dedicated by the developer to the River Run and Heritage Valley Homeowners Association, Inc., for open space, stormwater, drainage, retention basin, floodplain, wetland preservation and protection, access and maintenance purposes. The wetland areas, again, shall be separately identified within any outlots. The same area of Outlot 2 will also have an easement granted to the village for those same purposes. One of the questions that the staff does have is that there's a small area on the very west side of the property that's identified as Outlot 3, and we didn't understand exactly the purpose of that particular outlot, and so that'll be one of the questions I have for the developer this evening. With respect to population projections for the River Run at Heritage Valley subdivision, again, for this particular area, based on the 45 lots, it's projected that 122 persons would be added to the population at full build-out. This could result in 19 public school-age children based on the projections by the Kenosha Unified School District. With respect to the floodplain boundary adjustment, there is floodplain on this property. In order for all of the lots to be outside of a 100-year floodplain, it will require an adjustment between the two. This is really an engineering exercise because we need to create floodplain for that area of floodplain being filled. Specifically, again, we don't allow any floodplain to be on platted lots. The petitioner is proposing to fill 3,694 cubic feet of 100-year floodplain, and then they create 4,823 cubic feet of 100-year floodplain. So on the screen, you can see the limit of the floodplain delineation. Those areas that are in green would be the areas that would be filled, and the area in blue would be the area that would be created. It does not need to be an equal area of equal volume, but it does need to have equal volume or more to be created a floodplain, and that's what they're proposing to do. With respect to the wetlands, they were redelineated in 2016 by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, or the DNR, and they were delineated by an assured wetland delineator with R.A. Smith National. They did find that there are a few pocket wetlands that now exist on the property wherein lots are intended to be developed along those wetlands along the south end of the development. The DNR has exempted Wetland Area 3 from state wetland regulations since it was and is serving as a temporary basin constructed by the developer of Heritage Valley back in 1993. And there's a letter that we received from the DNR dated May 17, 2017 to that effect. Verification will need to be submitted from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers that they will not be taking jurisdiction over these wetlands. The developer will also be seeking approval from the Wisconsin DNR and the Corps of Engineers to fill two wetland areas. Wetland Area 1, which is 1,824 square feet. And Peggy is identifying, she's circling those on the map. and then a second wetland, which is 553 square feet. Again, two very small pocket wetlands. Wetlands 4 and 5 that are separate will be protected and will be located within outlots 1 and 2. She's just identifying those with a red circle as well on the screen. So those larger wetlands will be protected. Site access. This development will utilize two existing public access points onto County Trunk Highway H or Wilmot Road through 106th Avenue and 104th Avenue for access to the subdivision. Due to the location of the existing development and environmental features, no additional access to Highway C or Wilmot Road is feasible. And in fact, when determining construction access to the River Run development, it has been quite challenging, and the developer has tried and worked with the villages and has been trying to work with adjacent landowners to see if there could be another alternative access to the development. The developer has made several attempts to acquire a temporary gravel access driveway from the adjacent farmer landowner to the east and the landowner to the west, which is Meta, without any success. I'm not even sure if he even got return phone calls or responses from them. One final possible access location was determined to be at the very southwestern corner of the site, which Peggy's going to be identifying, and that would have been through the Bethany Lutheran Church property, but existing and future floodplain would restrict any access at that location. So as such, the village engineers and the public works director evaluated the site and recommended that the primary construction access to the site be 106th Avenue as an existing public roadway for construction. There would be a number of restrictions placed on the developer to reduce speeds and to take great care to keep the roadway free of any debris, mud, and stone. And if any damages occur to the existing roadway, it would be the developer's responsibility to repair all damages at the developer's cost upon inspection by the village and the village's satisfaction. The other things we can do is restrict the time of construction, when it starts and when it can end in the evening. One of the other thoughts also at the main entrance is that there are at times residents that park vehicles right at that entrance. It is a 24-foot wide boulevarded 24 feet and 24 feet with a boulevard in the center to possibly have the residents restrict parking next to that boulevard, next to their properties during the peak construction time. It's a possibility. Again, it's 24 feet wide so that it would still allow for a vehicle to get by as well as a parked car. With respect to public improvements, all public and private improvements will be made by the developer at the developer's expense. The entire development shall be provided with and serviced by municipal roadways, sanitary sewer, water, and storm sewer. And in particular, municipal roadways, we'll talk about that first, shall be extended throughout the development pursuant to the village's new development standard. This is roadway pavement will be reduced from 37 to 33 feet from back of curb to back of curb for all roadways. However, public sidewalks will be extended throughout this entire area on both sides of the public street. Alternate side parking regulations will be in effect for the development. All streets except 90th Street that will be further extended with another phase or another development shall end in temporary asphalt paved cul-de-sacs until they're extended. The location shall be shown on the engineering plans. Off-site easements may be required for any temporary terminus of 107th Avenue. With respect to municipal water will be extended throughout the development and shall connect to the existing municipal water within the Heritage Valley subdivision. Municipal sanitary sewer shall be extended from the existing sewer within the existing Heritage Valley subdivision, and a lift station is required to be installed for phases 2 and 3 of the River Run development and future development to the west. The lift station is proposed to be located on village property and shall not be constructed within any 100-year floodplain or wetland areas. The developer is responsible to have these delineations completed so that that issue can be avoided. In addition, the developer is responsible for designing and installing the lift station. Upon the village's inspection and acceptance of the lift station and brick-constructed housing enclosure, the village will maintain that lift station. The zoning map amendment. The single-family lots are intended to be rezoned into the R4.5 Urban Single Family Residential District. The wetlands to remain will be rezoned into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District. The non-wetland areas and the outlots will be rezoned into the PR1 Neighborhood Park and Recreational District. And the 100-year floodplain, after the amendment, will be located in the FPO Floodplain Overlay District. Typically, at the time that a preliminary plat is considered, the request to amend the zoning map is made. Prior to the rezoning of any wetlands, the Army Corps of Engineers will need to approve that they are not taking any jurisdiction of any wetlands that the Wisconsin DNR has exempted. Any permits from the Wisconsin DNR and the Corps of Engineers shall be obtained for filling any small wetlands and then submitted to the village. A separate zoning map amendment will be required when floodplain boundary adjustments take place for grading work that has been completed, and final approval must be obtained by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. In addition, each time that the zoning map is requested to be amended, it likely will require a modification or change to the village's comprehensive land use plan map so that both the zoning map and the land use plan map are consistent. So it's not unusual that once they have all their wetlands final delineated and the floodplain work final filled and created, that we come back and amend the comprehensive plan to reflect those final changes to the environmentals on the site. So the developer also did submit declaration of covenants and restrictions for the staff's review, and we have reviewed those. And there are other documents that they are starting to submit to us as well. But I know that there are a number of questions that were submitted by the residents about the subdivision, and we'd like to answer some of those questions. But before we get to that point, I'd like to introduce John Sorensen from U.S. Shelter, the developer. If you'd like to make any further presentation or comments or talk about timing and or the homes that are proposed to be built and so on and so forth. So I thought I'd introduce him now so he can make a further presentation, and then the staff can start answering maybe some of the other questions, or we could continue with the hearing.
Thank you, Gene. Appreciate the introduction and background. Thank you, Chair Terwell and Board. We appreciate your having us here tonight. I'm John Sorensen with U.S. Shelter, and here with us is Gary Rosh, Senior Engineer for this project with R.A. Smith out of Brookfield. U.S. Shelter, we're a family-owned home building company and developer. We're in our third generation.
Sir, before you go on, we need your address for the record.
Oh, address? Okay.
Thank you.
We're 31632 North Ellis Drive, Suite 213, Volo, Illinois, 60073.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. So U.S. Shelter, third-generation family home builder, 47 years of home building and developing. We focus on residential development and building, and through the years have built nearly 5,000 homes. We're very excited about this opportunity here at River Run in Pleasant Prairie. As Gene has stated, the background of the site, 24 acres. We're trying to comply with the R4.5 zoning and all the criteria of the village, and have enjoyed working on the project thus far. Well, we do not seek any variances at this time that I'm aware of, and our homes that we plan to build will be roughly, there's some of them flashing through here. This is samples of past homes we've built. 1,600 square feet to 3,400 square feet is our anticipated size range. That's not yet finalized. We plan on having a nice mix of homes, so when you drive down the street, to avoid monotony or repetition. And we plan on a traditional style of architecture within the context of phase one of the current portion of Heritage Valley. Again, some site plans are flashing through. If there's any questions, or I'd be happy to answer when the board has anything further. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, to open it up, Gene. Or is it okay to open a public hearing? This is a matter for public hearing. Is there anybody wishing to speak? You can speak on items A, B, and C. Then we'll take separate motions at the end of the public hearing. If you wish to speak, we'd ask that you come to the microphone and begin by giving us your name and address. Anybody wishing to speak? Well, we'll get, I figured some of them might just get answered in now.
Good evening, everybody. It's my first time in front of the village, and I lived here 23 years. I'm Dan Mordini.
Don't stay away so long next time.
I'm Dan Mordini, 8975 105th Avenue in Heritage Valley. Couple of things. First, I'd like to thank the village for answering some of my questions ahead of time, such as with sidewalks, are the widths of the streets going to be reduced, which they are. Added to that is what happens to the existing streets? Are they staying that way? Is there going to be sidewalks added? Is that considered? Then finally, the roads in the development have never been what I'd call be stable. So our concerns of those of us who have been here the whole time, because we've seen the damage to the roads in the past, and the sinkholes and replacing whole sections because they dropped out, that everything be done to keep that from happening again. I thank you very much. Those are my comments and my questions.
Gene, you want to answer a question, or do you want to wait till the end of the public hearing?
You know what? Maybe we could. Denise Zenner had submitted some of the questions, so why don't we go through some of the questions that she had, and maybe that might lead to other questions or at least get some answers to some of the residents. And our village engineer, Matt Feiner, is prepared to answer some of these questions as well as the developer, just so that it brings some clarity to some of these questions. So the first question is, why are all the cul-de-sac islands omitted from the new plan? When choosing this lot, we picked one because it was supposed to be on a cul-de-sac. Instead, now it's on a main traffic pattern. We would like to see 106th Avenue remain in a cul-de-sac. So I'm going to have John come up as well, and then we can take turns. I did address this briefly at the very beginning with respect to providing more efficient services for the village. So a lot more of our subdivisions now are not having cul-de-sacs. They are more through streets in order to provide those efficiencies, but I'll turn it over to the developer.
So when we decided to or looked at the option of making 106 straight, maybe I should start, the Property of the West, an agent of ours, we've been trying to determine, you know, feasibility to purchase the property or access it to fit the entire site within a comprehensive plan for U.S. shelter. That's been occurring since January, and we decided, without luck at coming together, to move forward, and that without knowing when the western half of this site will be developed, that there's a lot of traffic down 105th, and for stormwater, snowplow, public works, kind of emergency access, you know, basic ingress and egress, essentially that two straight shots and then ultimately 107th connecting through when that parcel is ultimately developed, if and when, would be kind of the best for traffic within the site that we controlled and we have. So essentially easier to maintain, potentially better stormwater, again, public works and access were the reasons.
Thank you.
So one of the next questions, and it's tied into that, is where will the construction traffic be? Is it on our made roads? And that answer is yes. Unless something would change with respect to them being able to acquire any additional access from the east or west, it will be from the main street coming down into the development, which is 106th Avenue. I know that they have been trying for months and months to try to see if they could come up with another solution to get into the development, and they've not been able to be successful with respect to the adjacent property owners.
Will, before you go on to the next one, talk about what happens to damage as a result of construction traffic.
So I'm going to turn that over to our village engineer because we'll do some videotaping of the roads and such prior to this development starting.
So damage is caused by the developer for access to their site will be the developer's responsibility to fix. So the roads will be televised ahead of the construction. And they'll be reviewed after the construction or even during the construction as it goes along. Beyond that, Gene has said, the developer has tried to get alternative access, to those subdivisions. It would be our preference that it was somewhere different. That way we didn't have to worry about the existing road, but any damage will be paid for by the developer in this case.
I'd like to direct a question to Public Works Director. John, in the event that the main roads get used for construction, how will roads be kept clean? How do you keep the mud off the road?
It's the responsibility of the developer to sweep the roads on a daily basis. We do evaluate. We do have erosion control inspectors that will go out, and there's a street sweeping bond that is held. So in the event that the developer does not take care of sweeping the roads, we have funds available set aside. They make a call, and then my staff will be out that day to sweep the roads to make sure that they're clean.
Funds available from the developer, is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, Gene.
So there's a question that talks about that front median that comes in off of Wilmot Road at 106. Will it be eliminated with cars parking on the streets and with more traffic? Will it be hard to pull out and into the subdivision? So on either side of that boulevarded entrance, there's a 24-foot wide public roadway. And even in looking at some of the aerial photography for this area, there are cars that park in that throated area. But 24 feet in width going in and out should still allow for someone to park on the street if they choose to, as well as construction vehicles or any other traffic to get in and out of the subdivision. It is not intended to eliminate that boulevarded entrance. It looks nice. There's no need to eliminate it, and it serves as a nice entrance to this subdivision. So we're hoping that it stays, and it stays well-maintained. Highway C, will it have a turning lane? Will it be four lanes? I'm going to turn that over to Matt.
Right now, Highway C is a two-lane road. Long-term, by the county, I mean long-term, it's in their 2050 vision plan that is supposed to be a four-lane road ultimately, but there's no immediate plans or even short-term plans of reconstructing that road. The entrance into the subdivision does have existing acceleration and deceleration tapers at that entrance, so it's not a substandard intersection at that point. So there won't be any improvements along Highway C or that intersection, no planned improvements at this time.
It has a turn lane going into the subdivision. What about for westbound Highway C? Is there a bypass lane for anybody wishing to turn left into that subdivision?
On the west side, there's another intersection, another road right on the opposite side. So I take it if somebody's stopping and taking a left, they're probably going to have room to go around it.
They will have room.
It does look like that. Okay. On the aerial photo, yeah.
Go ahead, Jane.
And then I will take the next one, and then I'll give it back to Matt. Why is the church exit in the subdivision? We fear it'll have more traffic. The neighborhood plan for the Bethany Lutheran Church campus, when they had originally put it together for us, was they wanted to have the flexibility to have up to four parsonages, small homes, for the pastor or other members of the clergy to live at this development. And at that time, we had identified that, and maybe Peggy can circle it on the map, that there would be an east-west road that ends into a permanent cul-de-sac, and that's where there could be four. Can you see that? There could be up to four single-family. She's just circled it. Four single-family lots. So it would be those four single-family lots that could then exit from that development and go through this Heritage Valley subdivision. It's not intended to have the church traffic or the school traffic or the ball fields traffic to go through this subdivision. That would be only for the parsonages or the small development that they have at that location.
But if the four parsonages don't occur, that was intended to be only an emergency access. If Highway C was blocked or something, the fire department would have access to get in a back way. So if that doesn't develop as single-family lots. And if that does have an access there, it would be gated so that general public cannot drive through there. That is not the intent.
Okay. If you've changed something?
No. The parcelage is.
Give us your name and address, sir.
Okay, that's what was in our operational plan information.
Ed Judd with the Village of Pleasant Prairie and with Bethany Church. At the northeast corner, those four buildings you see were the proposed parsonages.
Yeah. Right, but it was also my understanding that there was an opportunity to create four single-family lots. It was not the intent that this development would bring their construction traffic or any of their school or church traffic through this development. We would not have approved that.
That's accurate, but I guess... We created the map that way because of that road that was in the neighborhood plan. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I would suggest now is given when you look at the differences between the current and the proposed plan and the degree to which, you know, the street configuration and the lots have changed, I think, you know, when we get around to the point where that portion of the development occurs, you know, we could do something else with that dead-end road. Those four lots don't need to be on the church parcel. Whether that's a partial roundabout or simply a redelineation, because I think, you know, 106th Avenue and 104th Avenue provide adequate egress for this area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're suggesting that you might not, because... Clearly, we had a conversation that there could be up to four single-family homes because the question is whether or not the parsonages made sense up at the north end.
Right, but I'm telling you, the only reason we agreed to those four lots is because you wanted some sort of turnaround, emergency vehicle access, whatever, at the conclusion of that street.
We do.
Right.
And if that gets pulled tighter and so it's just a turnaround and nothing more, then that would be fine as well.
Okay.
Thank you. Go ahead, Jean.
I'm going to turn the next one over to Matt, and that is why there is no exit by 90th Street by the current road path to the Recplex.
This question I'm going to interpret a little bit, and if I don't get it right, if the questioner or somebody can correct me, I guess. 90th Street, I'm taking that to be kind of the street off on the east side of the subdivision that goes off-site into what is owned by Kivik right now, yep, where Peggy has just put in the red line. That road there would go up. There is an existing multi-use path over by Sewer D that goes down to the Recplex area. That's a multi-use pedestrian path for bikes, runners, whatnot. It's not a public road. So there would be no intent to connect the public road to that path. There is a possibility of sidewalks or other pedestrian paths being able to go over there and connect up to it in the future.
How wide is it now, Matt, did you say?
The existing Sewer D path, I think, is 14 feet wide. I might be a little off there, but it's around that.
I don't know if the Public Works Director has anything else he'd like to add with respect to that.
Name and address.
Denise Zenner, 8951 106th Avenue. I'm talking about how that cul-de-sac ends there. There's a street that we all take to get to that path. I'm asking why is there not also an exit to that street so people could get to see from that street and be another exit path out of this neighborhood is what I'm asking. Because if you look, that is the only place that has a cul-de-sac anymore, and so why didn't they make that just a little street so you could get out of the neighborhood from that, and there is a street that is there existing.
Are you talking about 104th, Denise?
No, I'm talking after 104th, there's a street that you take. Anybody know what that street name is?
That road to the bike path.
It's the road to the bike path I'm talking about. I don't know the name of the street. I only ride on it.
John Steinberg, Public Works Director. There is a street that comes off of Highway C that was the access road to the sewer deep treatment plant at one point.
Okay.
It wasn't designed at the time in the 70s to handle the heavy construction loads that our current specification is, so there would have to be some improvement made. But there is, I believe it's 18 feet wide right now. It's not the widest road, 18 to 19 feet wide. That does go up to where she's talking about, to the sewer D property. So there would have to be some major improvements made to make that happen. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, but it is something that, you know, could be a potential. It's the access road just to the east. Yeah, Peggy has an arrow down on it there.
But how would we get through?
And it ends right at the corner, so.
And that was the farmer's property that the U.S. shelter was trying to see if they could get some type of connection through. And
right, and they would probably have to make a combination between the Kivik property and the Francois property up to the north, combination through there. There is a wetlands just on the midsection of the Francois property just to the north, and so there are some environmental concerns you'd have to go through. And engineering or somebody would have to go through and do an analysis of that. But the village does have right-of-way that's down to the property line of Francois and Kivik's.
Okay.
That was used as the private drive for the sewer treatment plant.
Right, and I think maybe I'll have the developer come up, but I thought that they had made several attempts to talk to Mr. Kivik to see if they could get an access around the edge through the property anyway so that they could make that connection as another alternative.
John, we do have a sewer easement through that property.
We do, but we don't have a
roadway easement. Right, but it's not a roadway easement. And if the property owner is not willing to, you know, vacate that property for right-of-way, then that becomes a hurdle.
Is sewer D still active?
It is not active right now. It's just a storage facility for the Public Works and Utilities Divisions.
Sir, do we really call him, Gene? Thanks, John.
I spoke with Mr. Kivik. We did connect, and the owner to the east. At the time, we were looking for alternate construction access to the site in lieu of down 105th, and it was just a non-starter. There was no interest. I mean, even on a temporary basis, there was no, you know, just no interest, so. We have left a stub for a future connection on the property we own, it will be ready for the future, but without controlling the property to the east, you know, we made an attempt. So,
thank you.
I'm going to have the developer answer a couple of other questions. The first one is, how long is the construction projected to last?
The projection, you know, and this just our estimate and anticipation, we would estimate 3 to 4 years, 3.5 years, somewhere in that range.
That's for the total.
For the total, from starting.
All phases.
Yeah, all phases. That's right. That's our projection at this time, yes. It may be quicker. It may be a little longer. So.
Have you investigated whether or not there was any possibility of combining the Homeowners Association from the original Heritage Valley and the River Run developments?
We had not. We received the email today, and we would be happy to discuss that. But, you know, they are two separate areas, so we were not to this point, no. But we could look into it with you, so if it makes sense.
I made it through all of the questions. I don't know if there are additional questions that the residents have that we can
go ahead,
answer for them.
Gentlemen in back. Name and address, sir.
I'm Vic Mehta. The property that Mehta LP is concerned, that is, we are owner of that one. The idea is fine, except that road going to pick up that four lot on church side property, that is coming to south. If it is it will kind of cut off the several lots by doing just moving to north.
there a question there, sir?
Yeah, the road where it goes through our property to pick up that lot on the church side, I think that probably needs to go a little more south, because otherwise our proposed that we are working on, it will lose about 7 lots versus doing in north, we will still lose 2, but it will be better than the... And I have that sketch.
Okay.
So just to clarify, so you're questioning where the proposed maps are, that there's inaccuracy in the maps? Well, Jean will need to look at it, or somebody on her staff, but I think that's what your statement is.
I'm talking about this site in propose, which is right here. It is going almost.
This is being amended. This road is being moved up here further.
So they are moving right here.
Right, because
but
I think
doing
there's
that,
wetlands.
What is they are doing is just giving long lot to that property, you see.
Or limited with the
environment. Yeah, just to access there.
And you'll have to probably have your stormwater back down for your development.
Yeah, but it is already taken into effect. It can, if you look at your original, it has some lots on your already up to that.
What we're doing is we're looking at the existing neighborhood plan versus the proposed neighborhood plan, and I think that we can sit down and look at that this week. But some of the things that he is not aware of are the fact that wetlands have been now delineated, floodplain adjustments have to be made, stormwater management, and so it really does affect a number of the lots in this area. And so I think we need to go through that. I know that we've looked at this already, but we'll look at it again with him to make sure that there aren't any problems. But I don't know if there's been any wetland delineations on the...
Yeah, I just want to bring it to that, right, and it is still viable by moving a little south that... can still go to those 4 lots that can pick up by even moving this one right now. It is going upward. It will be just reversed, that's all.
You have your staff contact him for a meeting?
Yeah, we can do that. We can probably do that right after the meeting tonight. We can go through some of these in detail.
Okay. Gene, that's 5 lots that's over pushed over onto the Bethany property, correct?
You're talking about church.
There could be 4 or 5 lots. Again, this is an option. They wanted to have some flexibility. I was concerned about putting parsonages up at the road north at C. I thought they'd make more sense further to the south and closer to the other single family. But, it's still, they have a conceptual plan that we have approved, but they're not in a point where they're going to start their project today or tomorrow.
Right.
So there's an opportunity yet for them to refine their plans even further.
Okay, so that may never be pushed over to the residential construction. It would just, as shown in the blue designation here, that could very well be all of the church's property, and that cul-de-sac or whatever may not come about.
Correct. May or may not come about. But again, as we get further down the road, whether it's the Meta property starts to develop or the church property, when the next piece of the puzzle starts to fit into the larger picture here, that's when refinements have to be made and decisions, more detailed decisions have to be made as to the extent of what the development could be.
I agree.
So it could change.
So if you can, I'm getting nervous anyway, so if you keep in touch, and I'll appreciate that.
If you can stay here.
Do you have any more, Gene?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just go back to the one of the questions. I think one of the original or the first person that came up had two questions. One was the existing streets as far as potholes and compared to the new streets. The new streets are a much beefier road section, so first of all, the new streets shouldn't have the pothole problems or the base problems or whatnot as the existing roads do. The second question had to do with sidewalks and whether sidewalks were going to go through the existing subdivision through there. It's not the intent as part of this development to have sidewalks go through the existing subdivision. It's not that that can't happen some point in the future, you know, if you know, people desire it or if there's a need to connect something to a trail or whatnot that's popular by the residents. With the exception of two spaces, and that's one along 106th Avenue where the new subdivision is meeting the old subdivision up down the middle road there. Instead of the sidewalk ending one lot short of that intersection, the sidewalk would extend to 89th Place. That would be the only areas that we'd have sidewalks entering the new subdivision, or the existing subdivision, excuse me.
South, Matt, both to the south and west?
No, just to the south. Okay. To the west is, I'll clarify. To the west would be something in the future by a new development at that point in time, not this development.
Who would be responsible for paying for that?
The developer would be the one that installs.
So not the homeowners for those two lots?
No.
Okay.
Any other question or comment, ma'am?
Once again, Denise Center. My question is when we're original owners, and Corley did go bankrupt on all of us, and we thought there would be more. The big thing that we were sold as owners was we would never have construction go down our main roadways. I am that little corner house on 89th and 106th, and you're going to tell me 4 to 5 years I'm going to have construction go down the main road of where I live? That's a lot to ask the 32 homeowners that have been living there, and most of them are original owners. Probably half are original owners of those homes. And also to Highway C, I'd like you all, at 5:30 in the morning, we leave for work. It takes us 10 to 15 minutes to make a left-hand turn. When I'm going home to make a left-hand turn into that subdivision, I pray that somebody isn't coming out of River Oaks and that guy behind me going 40 to 50 miles per hour isn't going to ram me while I'm waiting for the traffic to go east on Highway C. There's got to be. If you're adding all these homes, we're never going to get in and out of our subdivisions. Ever, you know, and we've been there. There wasn't, the Pleasant Prairie, what, Prairie Ridge. It wasn't there when we first moved in, and we've seen the traffic go up and go up, and you adjust your driving times. But I have to say, I pray every time I go to pull out of my subdivision and into my subdivision, because Highway C is a lot of traffic. And now we have construction that we're going to have to be worrying about as well, going in and out of our subdivision. And the cars on the boulevard. And then to limit when, I don't know if Pleasant Prairie, I know Kenosha has parking restrictions, but we've never had parking restrictions. So now we're going to have to worry about what day, if we do have people visiting, what they can park on the side of the street. I think that's a little crazy because we're accommodating construction traffic coming in.
Why not?
Jean, comment?
So the alternate side parking would only be in the new area on a regular basis? It would not be in the existing area? But, you know, we're trying to solve a problem. If they're concerned about traffic going in and out of the main entrance and they feel that it's too narrow, the only way to do that is to restrict parking at the throat of that development, you know, during the peak construction time between 8 and 4 during the day. That would be the only way we could restrict that. The other thing I wanted to mention is, and I'm not sure where this stands, is at one point Kenosha County had a four-way stop sign at 104th and Wilmot Road. And I'm not sure why it's not a four-way stop anymore, but if that was a four-way stop, that would allow for more openings in traffic, and it would allow for a greater opportunity to get in and out of a subdivision. And so I think we need to have that conversation with Kenosha County, because at some point Highway 50 is going to be under construction in 5 years, and when that's under construction, Highway C will get busier because that will be one of the preferred routes to get out to the interstate. So I think that we need to visit with the county to see what the long-term plan is
for traffic and to give an opportunity for both River Oaks and Heritage Valley folks to get in and out of their developments.
You know, I agree with you. That should stay should have stayed as a four-way stop because that's a blind curve, and it's just dangerous. I traveled that way for work too, and I agree with you on Highway C. I mean, it's a 50 and 60 mile an hour traffic going down there. So if you can look into it with the county and get that traffic signals, you know, I mean the stop signs back into play, that'd be great.
And again, I would defer to our village engineer or our public works village engineer to find out if either of them knew why that was pulled. I know that, you know, in certain areas like Bain Station in particular, that was made into a four-way stop, and now a roundabout right. is being constructed there.
There was a pole as well. There was a survey or something that had been done as well. And I know people wanted the Bain Station connection to be a stop, but I think
we had quite a few people. I think the majority in our village-wide poll said that we wanted to see the stop condition. Mm-hmm. Again,
I'm sorry, I'm Regina Crosby. I'm at 8894 106th Avenue. And so I'm in that same, I'm at the end of the front of that subdivision, Heritage Valley. And one of the problems with having that stop sign was the traffic got really staggered, and that we couldn't get in and out. It was even harder to get in and out of our subdivision when that stop sign was there. It was kind of safer for everybody going down C, but then for us in the subdivision, it was less safe because you kind of had it was either you weren't going to go or you just kind of took a chance, you know, and so it was, that was actually much worse for us. But I wanted to add also, we actually had a bad accident at our subdivision for that exact reason. She doesn't live there any longer, but she was my next-door neighbor, and she was stopped on C trying to turn into our subdivision, and she got rear-ended. And there is enough space. You could go around, but the problem is you're facing west, and so a lot of times I think, I don't know if people are inattentive or what, but they may not see the person stopped right there, and she just got hit. And I've seen that where it's almost happened. I'm telling my boys, you have to always know that someone cannot maybe see you, and the sun is hitting a certain way. And right now, just with having that Bain Station roundabout being put in, we can see that the traffic is getting, I mean, it was bad before, but it's like 10 minutes where you can't make a left turn, either getting in or getting out. And I'm thinking that if you add, you know, eventually you add the church and you add, you know, they're going to have a school, and it's going to be nuts. And then the same thing with that, all that construction coming in and out for 4 years. That's a really crazy thing to think we're going to have to add that to not being able to get in and out of our subdivision. It's going to be.
What's the speed limit on Highway C in that area?
45.
45?
Nobody does that.
40?
No one goes for it, but some people do, so that's you get this odd staggering of, you know, speed. But I also had another question because I'm in that front block and where we get water rushing every spring because the soil is so hard that, you know, it's just not ready to absorb any of that rainwater. And so that, especially that first block, it is just a river. I wish I had taken video because I can do that for the spring, but not only is it a river that comes rushing down, I'm at the end of it. Then it just sits there like a lake for days. And, you know, with this rain that we had this summer, the sewer, the streets couldn't even take it. And right at that bridge, which is less than half a mile to the west, which would be like all that new subdivision plus all Bethany, the church, I mean, all of that gets developed. I feel like there's nowhere for that river water to go when it rises and the soil is not there to absorb it. And that water came to the road, that came to sea, right at that bridge. And then at River Road, which is just one street west, it was on sea. I mean, I feel like, I'm sure that there's going to be, you know, they're going to do something to make sure that, you know, that water goes somewhere. But it's kind of like you were saying, how there's like those new wetland areas. So right behind our house is sort of, we get a little lake every spring and then through the summer, and no one really knows that that's sort of a retention pond, but they're talking about now developing that. And the way we, I guess the original developer didn't grade it well, so behind us is all above us. And I'm terribly worried what's going to happen. I guess I want to know how that's going to be addressed.
Valid point. I can either ask the developer or Matt, one of them, engineers.
I'll answer part of it. So for the stormwater portion at the end there that you had your question on, I don't know exactly the situation behind your house. All new developments required to have retention basins and be able to take the drainage that they're not only producing but it's on their property and reduce that runoff rate. So it's where you might have open land with just runoff going off of it. Now you have a development with a detention pond that actually releases it probably slower than the existing land itself right now. The river and what you probably saw, maybe it was a month ago at this point in time, that was a very large event, and I would expect some of those areas in the village to flood or things to go over the road. Sea is no exception, or by River Road. So stormwater's at, as far as Highway C and the traffic on it, being able to get out of your subdivision, what I'm hearing is there's a lot of traffic on C, and really the whatever you're experiencing getting out of the subdivision, probably the new owners, as the subdivision grows, have that same experience. And really the solution to it, but the problem is basically a traffic on C. So eventually those intersections would have to be looked at as far as some kind of control, whether it's a stop or it's light or that type of thing.
Yeah,
and
maybe at your entrance.
And
the one right, was it north? Wasn't very effective for us.
Sure. And those type of things could be looked at, but they're warranted. It's not like somebody can just stick in a stop sign or a light. They have to meet warrants or basically a certain kind of circumstance or condition to put those type of things up. That is a county road, so it's under county jurisdiction. We can talk to them about, their plans for Highway C, that type of thing. There's nothing that I know of right now as far as whether it's this intersection or even 104th there. 104th is more, when I look at it, it's like that's the intersection I see a lot of traffic at. But I understand what you're saying, and I can envision why it's like that. But, again, we would have to talk to the county and see if they have any kind of long-term plans or any kind of plans for Highway C and those access points.
I have one other question about the water. So the fact that we're currently having water issues, and then you add so the new subdivision, let's say they address their water issues, but let's say we get more issues, then, how does that, I guess, where do we go from there?
So if you're on the northern part of the site there, this development that's before you today is south of you, and all its drainage isn't going to go north. It's actually going south. So it's not going to contribute to anything behind your yard. When it develops further, so when there's development that maybe abuts to you to the west, then that subdivision would actually, whatever problem is there, most likely, unless it's a wetland that you can't get to, it will be regraded. It will be designed where water will be able to flow out and probably enter into their detention basin at that point in time. So that problem most likely would be corrected as it develops, as that portion develops. But again, I don't know the exact circumstance of your place, but a lot of times where you have an existing development and that area that's circled might have been graded, it might have been rough graded, it's not graded correctly for drainage right at the moment. When that area develops, then it'll be regraded. There'll be storm sewers that are placed in there that help drain that area, and that'll take it to a new detention facility. So then usually sometimes development actually helps out existing development in some cases. Well, until it's designed, until we know what's going on, for tonight, for the development that's out there, it's south of you. It's not going to go there.
It starts just west of me.
Yeah.
It's right, the first house. I'm the first house that their first house would be sitting behind. So I'm like,
if you'd like, you could leave your address. I can take a closer look at it.
Not all of us in the subdivision received these letters. In fact, several of us did not. I being one. I only heard by word of mouth, so I never received the map or the letter. I don't know who to talk to about that. But.
If you want, you can see me afterwards, and I'll get your number, and I can take a look at it.
Okay. Right away. Mr. Chairman,
we did send notices out to everyone within 300 feet of the outer edge of this proposed development. So not sure why some got it and some didn't. That's why we also have it on the website, and we have it posted and so on and so forth. But we can just double-check their names if we have the right mailing information, because this is the first of several public hearings that we'll be holding. There's conceptual plans, preliminary plats, final plats, rezonings. So there'll be at least three or four more public hearings, depending on what projects are coming up this fall.
To the staff, have we looked at 104th Avenue being a construction road going south?
We did. I don't know if Matt or John want to address the 104th Avenue. It's a much narrower rural village road.
They can't handle it, huh? Go ahead, John.
We did take a look at that, and we evaluated that we were passing more homes with construction vehicles by going 104th. It's a longer route and more homes, so we were trying to make the least amount of impact to the homes as possible. So that was our decision to go off of the road to the west versus 104th.
Okay. And then my other comment is I'm deeply concerned about the traffic on Highway C, because when the state starts doing Highway 50 to the north, is going to get more traffic using that road. As much as I hate them, I think you're going to have a four-way stop coming out of that subdivision on C for the entrance into River View and that subdivision, because they're never going to get out of their subdivision.
Like the village engineer had stated, there are some warrants and there's some traffic studies we can do, and I can work with the village engineer in the county to evaluate the best use of traffic control in that intersection.
Because I agree with that woman that she must be worried about getting rear-ended every day, because it's only going to get worse.
The traffic is definitely bad. I live in the area, and I'm very familiar with the hazards that are out there, so I would definitely support the best use
Thank
of that
you,
intersection.
John. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Dennis Zirkelbach, 8995 105th Avenue. I have two main concerns. Well, traffic is a really good one, too. I hadn't thought about that before. But one main concern I have, and it's partial question, partial, I guess, confirmation, but the floodplain piece of the change that's being made that's proposed, I think it's C in the resolution, I know that there's been talk about from the village engineer and also talk from Army Corps of Engineers, but I know a concern I have from my perspective is that with the river being somewhat near us and with all the waters we saw, we've had awesome luck. I've never had any water in the basement, which is great, but I'm concerned about changing that and then it comes something in the future. So I guess my main question is, with the proposal to change part of the floodplain, is that something, are we relying on the Army Corps of Engineers? Is that why we're saying it's going to be okay to make that change, or what, let's say warranties, but how do we know that that's okay?
No, there's a detailed engineering analysis and detailed modeling that needs to occur in order to fill in any floodplain. You have to create or compensate at least that amount or greater floodplain someplace else. And it's actually the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, that has final say, but the staff will review it here. Our engineers here will review it. The Wisconsin DNR needs to review and approve it. Then it goes to FEMA for final approval.
Sorry.
No, and it's really an engineering analysis and evaluation of the floodplain. And so, again, the intent is to fill in floodplain in those three green areas. It's a very south end of this development.
obviously the river and the floodway and everything is kind of south and southwest. And as long as they create floodplain that's contiguous to it, which the area in blue is the floodplain area that they're looking to hold additional runoff water, basically flood water, it's really an engineering analysis. They can't raise the regional flood elevation in the area by this analysis. And again, it does go through many sets of engineering eyes.
Okay. I mean, and I get the fact that it's actually more cubic feet. That's good. But you know, I guess messing with it in any way makes me a little nervous, but I understand your point. My other question is with the proposal of the neighborhood change, so it's more houses, right? More lots than what is in the current neighborhood plan, right? So part of my concern with that is I know you mentioned the qualifications in terms of lot sizes and that, I forget the technical terms, but anyway, bottom line is we're talking about more lots in the same amount of space, and that's also a concern of mine too, that we're making lot sizes smaller than was the original part of the neighborhood plan.
I think it's actually fewer.
It's actually fewer lots.
It's fewer
lots? Fewer lots.
45.
Apologize. I thought it was more lots because I thought it was number of lots. Okay, I apologize.
So one area has greater number of lots, but the overall total number is less for that entire neighborhood in that area of Heritage Valley.
Oh, okay, so the entire, okay.
Gene, while we're on that subject, why the proposal to R4.5 instead of R4?
Technically Heritage Valley is R4 PUD. So they, at that time in 1993, we didn't have a 4.5 district. So what we did was we created an R4 and then put a plan unit development overlay or flexibility ordinance over that, which allowed those lots to be smaller than the minimum R4. So at that time, it was an R4 PUD. Now it's an R4.5. It's basically the same thing. The overall lot area is a little bit less than back then. Specifically, I think that the total lot size in Heritage Valley, the average lot size was 14,799 square feet, and they're looking at 13,470 square feet. So it is a little bit less, but it's not appreciable. The setbacks, side setbacks, rear setbacks, they're all the same for both the existing and the new.
Go ahead, sir.
Zach Dvorak. 8953 105th Avenue. One of the things I wanted to highlight, I know we've talked about a little bit with traffic already, is the fact that we do have some acceleration lanes off of 106, but with construction traffic all coming down 106 now, that will force, and as the development gets built, it'll force a lot more traffic through 104th as well, and 104th doesn't have any of that built on it, at least on the south side. And so I just wanted to highlight if there was a thought going to the fact that, okay, yeah, most of the traffic we're talking about is 106 now, and if we put the light at 106, that would have more traffic go out that way. But it would, if without that, it would definitely force more traffic out of 104th too. And we already talked about that. That's the narrower road that goes past more houses. A lot of those people probably aren't even here tonight because they're probably outside of 300 feet of some of these developments, you know, especially people right on the corners of 104th. And just if there was a thought to putting acceleration lanes there as well, or delineating any of those lanes, because right now, I know the comment was made of like, oh, okay, well, if you're stopped in the road, there's enough space on the side to pass in some of those acceleration lanes, but that's actually really dangerous if somebody's like also using that to pull out or something like that. They're not delineating as passing lanes. The second question I had, which was more just a comment than a question. I was wondering if we could put up the outlots again. I didn't quite catch the non-developed outlots of where they were going to be located. And I know some of you said we're getting turned over to Parks and Rec and versus just as wetlands. But
so the two that she's circling are outlots 1 and 2.
Okay.
And then there's an outlot 3. Which I wasn't really sure about what was happening with that, and I'll have to ask the developer. But those are the three outlots. And again, the floodplain and the wetlands that are in these particular areas, the adjustments of those,
those environmentals will stay in these outlots. That these couple other pocketed wetlands that are identified in gray, and Peggy will identify those one's like 500 square feet, another one is a little over 1,000 square feet, those two small areas, again, attributed to poor drainage and lack of grading in that area, are proposed to be filled.
With adding whatever 300 children eventually, the estimated 300 some children, out of development, is there any thought at all to having lots available for, you know, a village park or anything like that? I know right now you have to, the closest one is crossing the street up 104th by about three-quarter of a mile. But you're not definitely walking to that because you're crossing the street. So I'm just curious if there's any thoughts given to that at all. If there was, where might that be located, especially now that we talked about putting in sidewalks and stuff like that?
So with this development, the River Run at Heritage Valley, up to 19 public school-aged children would be added.
Up to 19,
right. If the whole neighborhood, that mile-and-a-half square area develops, when and if that develops, that will generate the much larger number of public school-aged children.
So adding all these lots right here that we're looking at, the estimate is that that's going to be 19 more school-aged children?
Again, they have 45 total, which they're spreading out with three different phases.
Okay.
And then what was the second part of your question?
Is about...
Oh, you know, and we don't have a good map here. The entire neighborhood that extends, again, from the railroad tracks all the way to I-94, about Highway C down to 93rd, it doesn't show any additional small neighborhood parks, but within that area, we have a Kenosha Unified School District proposed high school, which is a 90-acre community park and fields and so on and so forth just to the east of this. So that's within that neighborhood. So we've got that very large area, and we've got one or two maybe small pocketed neighborhood parks, just very small, like tot lot conservancy areas just to the east of this. And in this case, everything that you see in green or the greenish color, that's all conservancy and open space. Again, not active park, but the really nice thing about this subdivision in River Oaks and the River Run subdivision, they are literally, you know, a walk or run away from the recplex and that whole facility and all the acreage there of active, passive park and recreational amenities. So, you know, and there's a great the Prairie Farms bike and walking multi-use trail that connects the two. So, I mean, there are some really great amenities very, very close to this development. And to spot another neighborhood park in this area, I don't know if that's the most efficient and effective way to use the land or the tax dollars, because of all these other great amenities that are really close by for these residents.
All well and good, as long as you do factor in the, because there was talk about maybe a sidewalk or a path connecting to the basically the sewer access path. But if there isn't one, then you have to go out onto C to get over there, and that is not a, especially for kids, not a convenient walk or run to get over to that path and then out of the recplex, although it does connect. Which is nice.
Gotcha. Well taken with that point. And I think in the interim, maybe we look to see if we can make a connection.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Stan Mordini again, 8975 105th Avenue. Just one other thing with kids in the neighborhood and the corner of 106 and C, that's where the school buses pick up kids too. So I think we need to take that into account as we're doing all of this. They come through there, they stop there, and I think it's the high school bus, one of the high school buses actually stops at 106th to pick up and drop off kids. So just one other thing to think about.
So my question to you is that because there's no good turnaround for a bus to come in?
Not really. They can come into 106. They can go out 104th. some of the other buses, the elementary school and the middle school buses do come that way.
Oh, they do come down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been my experience with my kids that they don't like to go into subdivisions and they stop on the county highways.
Yes. And we had that argument with them when our kids were little.
Right.
I'm one that's minor grown, but there's more kids coming into the neighborhood now, and it's wonderful to see. And it's just kind of dangerous at that corner for that as well. So
that might be a question for KUSD, because I know they stop on 85th, they stop on 39th, they stop, they don't go into subdivisions. And I don't know if they assume that the bigger kids have the greater understanding of traffic.
You have one of the administrators in the office in the audience listening to this very intently.
I'm Kay Scheffner at 10633 Wilmot Road. We're the last house on the south side of the road before you go into the subdivision. And you're absolutely right. Traffic is crazy. It's very fast. We have the, when we're heading east, trying to turn into our driveway, they cut us off on the turning lane where it just turns into the subdivision. There's the extended lane. They come on either side of us. If we come up heading west, if I put my blinker on too soon, they think we're turning into the subdivision, and they'll go around and either go, or if I stop in the middle in my lane, they'll go through the ditch to get around at 50 miles an hour. So I'm glad you're going to be looking into it. I know there's warrants on it, but good point. We need to look at that. And I know this is going to be in phases, so my other question would be, when might this start if all the approvals go through, and would it be yet this year or next year? They are also putting the bike path on the south side of Highway C, so there's going to be a lot more traffic. There's people on that road all the time, biking and walking. So that's going to be more going through that intersection of that subdivision. A lot more people.
You put together a schedule for
not at this time. We don't have a specific schedule, but we would anticipate starting promptly upon approvals. So, and I'll reiterate, we're planning on doing all at this time, based on what we've presented, all of the mass earthwork at once, so all of the heavy equipment, you know, the big trucks kind of coming in, not over 4 years, but, you know, at the beginning, and then as we phase beyond there, you know, there will be smaller carpentry crews and things like that, but we anticipate most of the heavy earth moving equipment coming in at the beginning. So, and I know that there's, we're just three or four homes built within the phase one within the last, maybe 2 years, I want to say, but we would anticipate keeping our construction crews for the home building activities. You know, we'll keep the streets clean for the development activities, but they'll need to stay on the site, follow work hours, and clean up. And so, yeah, we would anticipate starting as quickly as possible.
So, John, are you proposing then to do a mass grading of all three phases and then do the infrastructure construction for phase one?
For the drainage and storm purposes, yes.
Okay.
And then, correct.
When was that start
date?
He didn't.
As soon as we're approved, we would start bidding and going out for work. We don't have a specific schedule at this time, but.
So a preliminary plat process, which is typically the next step, that can take 90 days. A final plat process can easily take 60 to 90 days. And then we have a floodplain boundary adjustment. So realistically, it probably would be next spring.
Yep.
At the earliest, depending on timing and getting all the approvals put together.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Hearing now, I'll close the public hearing and open to comments and questions.
I have a question.
From staff. Mike?
Matt, do I understand that the developer has to engineer and build a lift station? Is that right?
That's correct. It's part of his overall development.
Okay,
the lift station.
Okay, and that's good. My question is this, and John, you can maybe answer this. Is part of that going to be with a standby generator attached to that lift station?
Yes, it is. I've been working with Gary Rosh and his crew at Ari Smith, and They're very familiar with our standard specifications that we have for lift stations, and backup generation is one of the requirements.
Good.
Any comments, questions?
I've asked my Mr. Chairman.
Pardon me, Wayne?
I've asked my questions already.
Tom?
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to also mention that due the holiday, this is going to be going to the village board at their meeting on September 18th. So there'll be a few weeks in now in between, and so the staff could take that time in order to maybe get some additional questions to Kenosha County and to talk to them about the traffic and the timing and what it would take and so on and so forth for that roadway. I don't know if we received any comments. We haven't received any comments from the county. So I think that we need to reach out to them and find out what their concerns would be based on the information that we give to them after hearing this information tonight.
Thank you.
I'd like to add on, you're going to meet with the county highway department, right, Matt? Would you please get back to us? We have a change of leadership over there with Gary Sipson leaving, and I don't know, I've never worked with this new guy. We're hoping that he's going to be receptive, and I agree with everybody out there that Highway C is a problem, and something's got to be addressed. And so please.
But it sounds like there's a problem now. I mean, there could be an issue now, and with the new construction of either road reconstruction, that's kind of putting some additional pressure on that area.
There's no further
Tom,
questions.
Mr. Chairman?
Yep.
One more question. I think Gene was looking for some clarification on Outlot 3 from the developer, what the intent was.
Yes, sorry. I did not address that earlier. So Outlot 3, it's a remnant piece right now. We were waiting to see what happens with the piece next door to the west of us, if it could ever potentially become a lot or open space. It could be connected to the other outlot. It does not qualify as a lot as it is, but it's just a few feet short. As you see, the property kind of has a funny jet out just north with the lot above. So it was left for future to be determined. So.
With that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a comment before I make a motion. I'm glad that the area residents came before us tonight and voiced their opinions on what's going on out there. And I'm positive staff will look into it and try to resolve all of them that will include their safety on Highway C. And with that, I'll move that resolution number 17-21 be approved by the Plan Commission and send a favorable recommendation to the Village Board to conditionally approve the amendments to the comprehensive plan, the neighborhood plan, subject to the comments and conditions of the August 28, 2017 Village Staff Report and some of the comments made by the Plan Commissioners.
There a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded then to adopt Resolution 17-21. And to send a favorable recommendation to the Village Board. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered.
Move approval of this conceptual plan.
Second.
And moved and seconded to approve the conceptual plan subject to the terms and conditions outlined in the staff memorandum. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered.
Move to approve the floodplain boundary adjustment subject to the comments and conditions of the Village Staff Report of August 28, 2017.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the floodplain boundary adjustment subject to the terms and conditions outlined in the staff memorandum. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So ordered. Item D, Gene, public hearing consideration of his only text.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Plan Commission and audience, this is a consideration of zoning text and map amendments, Ordinance 17-41 and 17-42, and this is at the request of Matt Feinauer, PE, with the Village of Pleasant Prairie, related to the FEMA-approved floodplain boundary adjustment Lomer case number 170-05-1426P. And this is associated with the recently constructed park and ride lot within the Prairie Springs Park to amend section 420-131I1A to specifically reference the change to the official floodplain maps and the flood insurance study report as approved by FEMA for the floodplain boundary adjustment, Lomer case number 170-05-1426P, and to correct the zoning map to correctly show the amended location of the 100-year floodplain within the FPO floodplain overlay district. All other zoning designations on the property will remain unchanged.
Before I entertain the motion, I just want to comment and thank the people for how attentive they were tonight. We really appreciate that. Now I'll entertain a motion to adopt.
Oh, I didn't finish making my presentation yet.
Pardon me?
I'll finish the presentation first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On August 4th, 2014, the board approved Resolution 14-24 related to the floodplain boundary adjustment to remove 130,900 cubic feet of floodplain and to create 134,630 cubic feet of floodplain to compensate for the floodplain being filled related to the park and ride lot in Prairie Springs Park as delineated and shown on the firm and maps and the flood insurance study, or FIS, for the Village of Pleasant Prairie that have an effective date of June 19, 2012. The property is located south of Turwall Terrace across from the Recplex and is in part of U.S. Public Land Survey Section 20, Township 1 North, Range 22 East in the Village of Pleasant Prairie. The tax parcel number is 924-122-204-0201. Pursuant to the resolution, an as-built certification survey was completed and FEMA approved the amendment as shown on the attached Lomer application effective September 12, 2017. Based on this work being completed and approved by FEMA, the following amendments are being proposed to the village zoning map and the zoning text, number 17-41 and number 17-42. And specifically, this ordinance creates section 420-131I1A5 to specifically reference the change to the official floodplain maps, and the flood insurance study is approved by FEMA for the boundary adjustment. It also amends the zoning map related to the floodplain boundary adjustment associated with that recently constructed park and ride lot within the Prairie Springs Park. This was completed on lot 2 of CSM 1806, owned by the Village of Pleasant Prairie, and it also affects the 100-year floodplain not only on this property, but on land within CSM 1301, owned by the Lakeview Corporate Park Association. The zoning map is proposed to be amended to correctly show the location of the 100-year floodplain within the floodplain overlay district on the properties. And again, this is FEMA, Lomer, Letter of Map Revision, case number 170-05-1426P. All other zoning designations in the property remain unchanged. The staff recommends approval as presented. Again, this is part of a public hearing, so if there's any other questions or comments.
Anybody wishing to speak on this matter? Anybody wishing to speak? Hearing none, I'll open the comments and questions from commissioners.
Just a question. How come this wasn't spotted 2 years ago?
Or when it was
well, there? It's a long process. and as we were indicating, that we can go through the initial approvals and commence the work and get the certifications, but then all of this information has to go to the federal government, and they have consultants that work for FEMA, and they have to review and verify all of this information. And sometimes it takes a year or two for them to get things back to us and finalize. And just like with the previous project, it'll go through our local process state. It'll be approved to get to FEMA. And then the work will be completed, and then the follow-up could take a year or two later. By that time, in that subdivision, the homes will be built, and everything will be done. But it does take a while to get these FEMA federal maps updated, and now they're all on the website.
Should have just said it was part of Foxconn. It only got approved real quick.
Yeah.
Move approval of Ordinance 1741.
Right now, FEMA's pretty busy in Houston.
Move approval of Ordinance 1741 and 1742.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered. Motion to adjourn would be in order.
So I'll move.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? We stand adjourned. Don't, oh, yeah.
We've got a board meeting right now.
I just started to read that. Close.
Don't turn yours off. Oh, you got the same stuff in the boards? I thought I was just going to use the same slides.
No, because there's other items on the agenda.
Really? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Now we're good.
Oh, the one at the top?
Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order. Roll call.
John Steinbrink.
Here.
Chris Keckler.
Here.
Steve Komorkowitz.
Here.
Dave Klimisch.
Here.
Mike Serpy.
Here.
Tom Scherzel.
Here.
Quorum being present. Second one. Item 3, new business. First item being an item A, receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider Ordinance 1741. Ordinance 1742 for the approval of a zoning text and map amendments related to the FEMA-approved floodplain boundary adjustment associated with a recently constructed park and ride lot within Prairie Springs Park.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is a request for zoning text and map amendment, Ordinance Numbers 1741 and 1742. And this is at the request of the village engineer, Matt Feinauer, for the village of Pleasant Prairie, related to the FEMA-approved floodplain boundary adjustment, Lomer case number 170-05-1426-P. And this is for us to address the recently constructed park and ride lot within Prairie Springs Park and to amend section 420-131-I-1A to specifically reference the change to the official floodplain maps and the flood insurance study report as approved by FEMA. Again, this is as a result of the park and ride lot construction. It affects not only a piece of land in the village's park, but adjacent land in CSM 1301 that's owned by the Lakeview Corporate Park Association. The zoning map is proposed to be amended to correctly show the location of the 100-year floodplain within the FEMA floodplain overlay district, the floodplain overlay district pursuant to FEMA Lomer case number 170-05-1426P. All other zoning designations on the property will remain. As I mentioned at the Plan Commission meeting, this is a ministerial action basically by the board at this point, as we have gone through the entire process to submit all the documents to DNR and FEMA and gone through the engineering evaluations and the modeling in order for this floodplain to be adjusted. The work has been done. The topo work has been completed, and now the final action is to approve the final effective maps for the village. The staff brought this matter before the Village Plan Commission this evening, and they recommended approval as presented, and the staff also recommends approval of the two ordinances, 1741 and 1742.
Okay, I make a motion to approve the zoning text amendment and the zoning map amendment. Ordinance 1741 and 1742.
Second.
Motion by Steve, second by Dave. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item B, consider submission of a disaster damage aids petition to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation for a section of roadway washed away in Carroll Beach on 85th Street.
Mr. President, members of the board, on July 12th of this year, the village received large rainfalls in the amount of approximately 8 inches. As part of that rainfall, there was some damage to a public roadway on 85th Street within Carroll Beach, specifically between 3rd and 7th Avenues. This is a culvert crossing. There used to be a culvert under there, and there used to be a roadway on top of it. Because of the heavy rains, washed over top, flooded out the culvert, and actually washed the roadway away. The road had to be closed for several days until Public Works crews could go in, make the repairs, and safe for the public and traffic. The village was not eligible, the state of Wisconsin, I should say, was not eligible for any FEMA funds on this rain event. They're calculated by population, and I believe it's around $8 million of damage has to happen during one event over the course of the state or over the geographical area of the state. We were about half of that at $4 million. We did do some research and found out that local governments can submit a disaster damage aids petition through the Department of Transportation. That's what we have this evening. So we Public Works crews did complete this repair in the amount of just $18,876.53, and we are looking to submit this petition to DOT for reimbursement of 75% of the project amount. So one of the requirements is that the village board adopts this petition at the meeting this evening. It had to be done from 60 days of the rain event. So that is before you this evening, and I can answer any questions you may have.
Move approval of disaster damage aids petition. I'd just like to thank you for still trying to find a way to recover some of the funds associated with fixing this.
Yes, thank you.
Motion by Chris, second by Steve. Further discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion is made for adjournment with a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned.